All right, guys. What's going on? What's happening? How you guys been? Episode 10. We made double digits finally, which is super cool, especially for something that I didn't know where it was going to go. So, again, like every week, I want to thank you guys for coming back, for checking in, for listening, for supporting, you know, all that good stuff. So this is, I guess this is our Halloween spooktacular. Our scary Halloween episode. No, not really. Just another episode. I did take the week last week. We had some stuff going on. And first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to the Eastlake High School band, which most of you don't really care. But they, my son is in the band, and they qualified for state, which is pretty damn cool. So they went to Odessa. They kick some ass. Second place, they're going to state. We'll be in San Antonio this coming week. But you know, shout out to the whole band, the directors, and my son especially. Not a lot's been going on, to be honest with you. Gepar got a new sign, and everybody seems to be head over heels over that, so that's pretty cool. Shout out to Gepar. Halloween is in 2 days. I know the parties were last week. I missed them. I was being a dad on Saturday. But, you know, I hope you guys go trick-or-treating and get your Halloween and then schedule your dentist appointment. The NBA started, which, again, my New York Knicks, who I thought were going to do something this year, apparently are not. But, hey, you know, it just started. They got their first win yesterday. You know, hope your basketball team's doing good. The wedding of the century, at least the wedding of the year, is happening this Saturday. Another shout out goes to my girl Tanya. Her shindig is happening this weekend. I hope you got invited. If you didn't get invited, then, you know, stay tuned for the pictures and whatnot. But it looks like it's going to be one hell of a party. So I look forward to doing that too. And then best of the city, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me about it. So people are a little iffy about it. I'm going to give you my personal opinion. If somebody took the time to nominate you, whether it's your friend, whether it's a client, whether it's whoever, and you made that list, you know, kudos to you. You obviously you did something to get on that list, for somebody to take time to nominate you and put you on the list. If you and your buddies nominate each other and, you know, whatever, then that's a totally different story. But most of the people on that list deserve to be on that list. This is my 3rd year, 3 out of 4 years that I was nominated. I'm super grateful. And I don't know who did it, but whoever did it, thank you very much. The links are up for you to go vote. If you have time, I think voting's open till Thursday, which, holy crap, this episode might come out after the link is done. Anyways, if you voted, great. If you voted for me, even better. If your company, if your business, if your friend was nominated, your family, whatever category was, if you made it on the list, that's awesome. Congratulations to you. And we'll check, I guess we'll check in December, right, to see who wins. It's going to be a fun little competition. This week's episode is with Marisol Tavizón. She's a local trainer, personal trainer, which, let me tell you guys, in person, like if you go to her Instagram and look at the photos that she has on there and then compare her in person, I mean, she is ripped. Like, you wouldn't believe it. But we got a chance to talk to her a little bit about her training, her upbringing, her diet, and then her goals, you know, her future bodybuilding goals. So we had a really cool conversation. You're going to hear some echoes. You're going to hear some noises. We were in the CrossFit section of Push Fitness. There was a guy behind Marisol going hammer time in his routine. I thought he was going to die, but He made it through. But I really hope you guys enjoy the conversation. And here's my song. That's right. Don't worry about it.
Okay. And then from there, I got into the insurance business. And that was another leap.
But you were already in, you mean insurance as like sales?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I decided to make it a full time and I quit my contractor job, which is very good pay, benefits and everything. And I just took a leap of faith and I just left it and I started doing life insurance.
Do you remember the timeline now? Do you remember when? So when did you leave originally to go do the contracting? Do you remember? Because I've been gone 5, 6, almost 7 years.
I left before you did. I know that for a fact.
So then it's further back.
So it's been, I want to say 9 years.
9 years since you left. Yeah. Okay. How long did you do the contracting for?
A year and a half. Almost two.
Mm-hmm. And then the sales, the insurance sales?
I did it for 3 years.
How was that?
So while I was still as a contractor, I was doing that on the side. But then eventually, after a year and a half, I quit that to do the insurance full time.
What did you do it for? For what company?
It's WFG.
Okay.
World Financial Group.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, and so it's more of a scam. It's a those pyramids scene, and it sucked. And so I quit that because I found out a lot of like crooked things that they were doing.
Okay.
And like they were lying to clients and they were doing illegal stuff. And that's when I was like, you know what? Things are going to get really bad here. I'm taking off. And that was at the time that I was like pursuing personal training.
Okay.
And I was getting a lot, and I started to work out on my own, and people started seeing how much I was changing, and they were asking me for tips and everything. And there was this one lady that she passed away actually, but I will always remember her because she told me, she's the reason why I'm where I'm at right now, because she saw me changing, like how I lost weight, I got toned and everything. And she's like, you need to be doing this full time. This is your destiny.
Right.
Like, this is going to be your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me this like three different times.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when things got really ugly at the life insurance thing.
Okay.
And she kept coming to mind. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I took another leap of faith. And I was like, okay, this is it. And this is going to be it. And sure enough, like this, I've been personal training for 4 years now.
For 4 years now?
Yeah. And it'll be 4 years in March.
So how do you start as a personal trainer? Like what's step one? I guess I'm assuming you first and then you build clientele, or how did you get started?
I feel like you're your own billboard, you know, it's... Perfect example would be you're not gonna go get a haircut and the hairstylist's hair looks like crap. You know, you're not gonna trust them. You're gonna be like, their hair looks like there's split ends all over and they're like, their hair's ugly all the time. Are you gonna trust them to cut your own hair?
Right.
You see what I mean?
Right.
So that's the way I view it, and that's the way I've always seen it. So that's why I'm always in shape. And that's a big reason why I compete, because I want to prove to my clients and to anybody that everything is possible. Like, you can lose weight, that it's a lifestyle. It shouldn't be just, I want to get ready for a wedding or for a vacation, and then you come back and then you just throw everything away.
Right.
You know, it should be a lifestyle. And so... I've gotten a lot of clients from just going to Walmart, from just going to Sam's, and people look at me and then they come and approach me and say, I'm sorry. I was like, you look great. I was like, how do you tone your arms? And then they eventually, that's where I'm like, okay, well, like, you do this, but it's all on your diet. And then they ask me like tips and stuff like that. And I'm like, are you a personal trainer? And I'm like, yes, I am. Here's my card. I've gotten so many clients like that. I can honestly tell you that's how I've gotten most of my clients.
Okay.
From just going to the store.
So how did you get in? I'm assuming, did you always work out? Were you always into fitness or?
Well, I've always been I'm an athlete. I've always been in sports. When I was in school, I was in basketball, volleyball, track. I tried wrestling too. And I did some golf. So I'm an all-around athlete, you know? And so, but then after high school, I stopped working out. And I was in an abusive relationship for three years.
Okay.
And when I was with that person, I gained a lot of weight, like more than I've ever been. Like that was the heaviest that I had ever been. And then I
Which
suffered.
Was what? If you don't mind me asking, what was that about?
I'm not too sure about the like weight-wise, but I know I went up to a size 9.
Okay.
And that, like, I had always been very petite. So a size 9 for me was, like, super overweight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was because I was depressed and I was drinking a lot and I was partying and I wasn't working out. And I was just eating crap, you know? And then getting abused all the time, going back home and all that. So I was depressed and my life was just like, and that was at the same time that I was at Fred Loya, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I would actually go to work sometimes with a black eye and everything, so I would cover like myself a lot.
Holy crap.
So me being in a cubicle was perfect for me because I could hide there. And right. then you know how strict they were about us going to the restroom.
Yeah, don't get up. No water breaks.
Yeah, so that was perfect for you. So I want to say 80% of the time I was going there beat up and nobody ever knew. You know, so that's one thing that I'm not proud to say it, but I'm good at hiding. Mm-hmm. I was good at hiding what I was going through.
Right.
You know, and then when I would have my lunch breaks, I would go to the bar. Applebee's, you know how Applebee's at that time, there was an Applebee's like right next to it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And go drink during my lunch hour. So right. I was always intoxicated because I was numbing myself from
right.
what I was going through.
Right.
So then I hit rock bottom after, like, I just got tired of living like that. And what really struck me was when I went shopping for jeans. And I remember this clearly. I went to this Kohl's right here by Bassett.
Okay.
And I was trying on jeans and they wouldn't fit me. I kept getting like a bigger size and a bigger size. And I was like, what the heck, you know? So I finally got to a size 9 and they went up. And I was like, and literally in that dressing room, I looked at myself and I was like, I didn't even recognize who I was looking at.
Right.
And I was like, who are you? Like, what have you done? You know? And that was like my blindfold fell off my eyes. And that was when I was like, you know what? You need to leave this relationship or you're gonna die, and you deserve better, you know. And so that was when I reached out to a personal trainer that was just opening their own gym, and I scheduled an appointment with them, and I went to that trainer, and from there, like, I just started feeling better about myself, and I stopped drinking. Because what I was using alcohol and partying to numb what I was going through.
Right.
But
right.
then when I discovered fitness and I was learning about nutrition, about proper form, exercising and everything, that was healing me from what I was numbing myself from. So I didn't need the alcohol anymore.
Okay.
So I stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped partying little by little. It didn't happen overnight.
Right.
It was hard for me.
Right.
And then I left that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back home. And I have an addictive personality. And so I saw how fitness was making me feel good.
Right.
In a healthy way.
Okay.
And so I started working out every day. And I changed everything. So from a size 9, when I first started, in 4 months, I went to a size 0.
In 4 months?
In 4 months.
Wow.
In 4 months. And him, how I started to experience him.
Okay.
You know, so I, in other words, I surrendered myself to everything. I gave up on every, I was like, you know what? Nothing that I'm doing is working.
Right.
So I give up.
It's just a complete fresh start.
Yeah. And so after that, it's been, that's been my medicine for everything. Mm-hmm. Fitness and my faith.
Wow.
That's all I need. And that's like, I'm happy with that.
And this is how long ago? This is when did you start your fitness life path?
6 years ago.
6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then 2 years, 2-3 years after that, that's when I started pursuing personal training.
Okay.
And then that's when eventually all that happened with the insurance and all that stuff. And I decided to, I was like, you know what? I give a lot of advice and people come to me for advice, fitness advice.
Right.
And so, like, why not make this? And I love talking about fitness and I love telling my story because I feel like I want to give people hope, you mm-hmm. know, because I've been to the bottom of like my rock bottom and I'm not where I want to be yet, but I thank God that I'm not where I used to be.
Yeah. I mean, that was a scary place to be in.
Yeah, super scary. I attempted suicide three times. And that last time that I did, I asked myself, I was like, okay, there's has to be a reason why I'm still here. And I failed at even killing myself. You know, like, no, like, it's not,
yeah, it wasn't
not,
meant
it's
not to
funny,
be.
But no, yeah, yeah, and I was like, okay, I'm not good at this either. So there has to be a reason why I'm here. And
right.
Now I know why I'm here.
So
this
you,
is my calling.
So you pick up fitness, you pick up your religion. 4 years ago, you start as a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
How's personal training going now?
It's wonderful. I love it. I'm still very consumed by it and I wouldn't want it any other way. I love it. I genuinely love to help my clients reach their goals,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my goal is to have my own gym sometime soon.
Okay.
To have my own gym and be able to help more people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, I don't see this as a job either. Like, I don't consider this a job. It's something that, it's like, it's just something that I do.
It's like being a basketball player. That's the way I see it.
Exactly.
Like you train, because you do competitions and things like that, right? Uh-huh. So you work out, you train.
Exactly.
And then at the same time, you're helping other people. And exactly. then not only are you helping people, but you're also making money. So
yeah, so it goes hand in hand. And I know it's cliche, the whole saying about once you find your passion, like you won't work a day in your life or
right.
something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's very true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if you ask anybody that's doing what they're passionate about, they would never call it work because it's not work.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're having fun while doing it.
Yeah, and then I create my own schedule.
Right.
I have a flexible schedule. I do whatever I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and then at the same time, I'm helping people and I'm helping myself. So what more can I ask for? Like, everything's great.
That's true. How many clients do you have right now?
Right now, I have 18 clients.
Okay.
18 clients. I fluctuate between, it's all, because we have our bad times and our good times, which the good times is coming right now with the whole New Year's resolution. It's sad to say, but it's the truth.
That's when everybody picks it up again.
Yeah. And then we hit, like a slow time during like right when spring is gonna start,
mm-hmm.
but then summer comes and everyone wants to get summer ready,
right. The summer body
in the summer,
right?
But you get ready in the summer. In the winter, this is when you get summer ready,
right?
Because it takes time, you know.
Yeah, but if you start getting ready now, like Thanksgiving is coming, tamales and Christmas, like
it's all about moderation.
Okay.
You can still enjoy your holidays and the food that you like. And that's what I teach.
Okay.
Because people are like, well, I'm not gonna be able to eat that. No, you will.
That's why I don't have a gym membership.
It's all about moderation. What happens is that people eat like crap all day, every day. Mm-hmm. That's when it's wrong.
Okay.
But if you, I always tell my clients, think about this. It should be 80-20.
Okay.
That's the rule.
Okay.
And 80-20. What does it mean? 80% of the time you eat nutrient-dense foods, whole foods.
Okay.
That are good for you.
Okay.
I don't like to say good and bad because society has labeled food as good food and bad food.
Right.
There's no such thing as that.
Okay.
And that's what I try to change. I'm trying to accomplish.
Okay.
Change your perspective of how you view food.
Okay.
Because in reality, everything we do revolves around food. If you think about it, if you're going to have a business meeting, if you're going to go see a client, and you're going to go have lunch, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's like the most common thing to do, right?
Right.
Or you're going to go to Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have a coffee.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or a pastry or right. whatnot. Or the holidays.
Yes.
Every holiday has tamales, menudo, conchas, and like all the stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the thing is that people get is like, they stop working out mm-hmm. and they eat all the food. That's when it's wrong.
Okay.
So the 80-20 rule is like you eat 80% of like your good proteins, your carbs, and your fats, your healthy fats.
Okay.
But then 20% of the time, you're able to do a pizza, a burger and fries,
okay.
Ice cream, or you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's flexibility. There should be a flexibility because what happens is that when you call it a diet or you restrict yourself from something, you're going to break down and you're mm-hmm. going to mess up and you're going to be, give up. And then that's when you start binging.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be like that.
Okay.
You know, you should be able to be like, you plan everything. Like, for example, the weekend is coming up. And let's say you have a party to go to on Saturday. So what I tell my clients is like, okay, so the whole week, eat as best as you can. Like don't eat anything that you shouldn't, like the candy bar or like anything like that. That way you can save those calories for that party. You know?
Right.
And you can, and then you don't really feel it because you've been good the whole week.
Now, when you say you've been good the whole week, what are a couple of foods that you completely stay away from?
None.
Mm-mm. You eat at least a little bit of anything, everything.
And the thing is that nothing's going to happen to you if you eat a donut. Nothing's like, if I go right now and I eat one donut, nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Or to anybody. A donut is not going to do anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
What happens, what can do to you is if you have 3-4 donuts all in one sitting.
Okay.
Then that's when it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day you're like, well, I already messed up, so I'm going to continue. No, you don't do that. That's when it's wrong.
Right.
And instead of saying, I was like, I had 4 donuts yesterday, I'll do a little bit more cardio tomorrow, you know, and then I'll drink a lot of water. Because what happens is that when we eat like too much sugar or too much fat or too much of sodium, our body retains water. So a lot of the times when if you weigh yourself the next day after splurging,
mm-hmm.
that's why the scale goes up, because your body's retaining a lot of water. Not that you gained 5 pounds in one day, because that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You won't. It's just your body's retaining a lot of water. All you need to do is, okay, tomorrow I'll wake up early to do some fasted cardio so my body can get rid of all that water that it's retaining.
So you're 80...
And then drink more water the next day.
Okay, so the 80-20 rule revolves around... So the 80-20 rule, I guess you could apply it to just about anything. You apply it to food, But this whole 80-20 revolves around working out. You have to work out.
Yeah, exactly. You can be just having your, what I call them, your treat meals, or cheat meals, if you want to call them like that, and not be active.
Right.
You know? And another important thing is that you need to be in a caloric deficit.
Okay.
A caloric deficit is, it's different for everybody, depending on what your goals are. So in order to lose weight, you need to have a set of calories that you need to be within. You can't go past those calories.
Your daily calorie?
Yeah, your daily calories.
Okay.
And that's different for everybody. And it all depends based on your age, your height, how active of a lifestyle you live.
Okay.
And then that's how you can find out what most people know them as your macros.
Okay.
And your macros are made out of proteins, carbs, and fats.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so you gotta know how much protein you should be consuming a day, how much carbohydrates you need to be consuming a day, how much fat you're supposed to be consuming a day. And so in order for you to lose weight. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So somebody that's at a desk job all the time is not very active. You know what I mean? So their calories are probably going to be a little less than someone like me, that I'm always on the go. I have an active lifestyle. So I have more calories because I burn more calories throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So my macros are going to be a little higher. So your macronutrients are going to be different for each person. And that's what happens with the 80-20 rule. You got to make sure that you don't go over those calories.
Okay.
So that's when you...
You got to make sure you don't go over those calories 80% of the time or at all?
At all.
At all.
At all. Okay. And you can, with an 80-20 rule.
Right.
Okay. In those calories, you can fit in...
A donut. Right.
Yeah. And then be like, let's say I go have a donut right now. And then I'll be like, okay, so a donut is 400 calories.
Okay.
More or less. So I gotta have I'll have a smaller dinner
mm-hmm.
to make up for those extra calories. So I won't go over my calories.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
Right.
If people do that, then they don't have to worry about gaining weight. Because they're fitting in those donuts or that candy bar that you want, that you're craving, and you don't have to deprive yourself. All you have to do is fit them into your calorie intake. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So what, I guess, what's the easiest way to get, and I ask some people that are listening to it are going to do this. Some people that are listening to this don't work out. I'm asking because I have zero motivation to go to a gym. So how do you start? How do you first transition into activeness? I mean, I do a little bit, right? I have a cycling bike and I'm out in the field and I walk and, you know, all those things. But like to say, pick up weights and all that stuff, there's zero motivation for that. So how do you get somebody to kind of get going?
So I always suggest, and not just because I'm a personal trainer and this is not a sales pitch or trying to get clients or anything. No, I'm being honest. But it's what worked for me mm-hmm. when I first started and what I suggest. But if you hire a personal trainer, you pay that trainer. And first of all, you're already investing. You already paid money.
Right.
So you want to get your money's worth.
Right.
And then when you wake up, you're like, I don't want to go. I already paid her, though, and she's waiting for me. So you feel like, okay, I have to. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that'll keep you accountable to you have to go. Now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's one thing. If and people say, it's like, well, I don't have the money for it. Yes, you do. Everyone has the money.
Yeah.
The mall, every weekend, the mall is always packed. It's true. That's why you're laughing.
Yes.
Correct.
You're right. You could come back on unnecessary things. Yeah.
Yes. And prioritize.
Right.
It's all about priorities. How bad do you want to lose weight?
Right.
How bad do you want to fit into that dress or into those jeans? How bad do you want a six pack?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and the thing is that regardless of whether you spend money on the personal trainer or not, you're still going to spend that money.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to spend it. Either you're going to spend it on buying a purse that's good, you're not going to want it in like 3 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to benefit you in any way other than just looking the part or looking cool, you know, but then you're still overweight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And or you're going to end up getting sick and spend it at the doctor's.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It sounds kind of like brutal, but it's the truth.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because so, and it's important to be healthy, to stay healthy, because, I mean, this is the only body that we're going to get. And so you need to take care of it. And we need to be responsible for it. And the thing is that you're paying the trainer, but you're investing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you're paying that trainer to help you so you can reach your goal, so you can learn.
Right.
So that is why I'm so big in teaching. And I don't like having group trainings. It defeats the purpose of a personal trainer. A personal trainer should be somebody that's going to be dedicated to that person.
To that one individual. Right.
So they can learn.
Mm-hmm.
When you have this big old groups and only one trainer, it's impossible for that trainer to monitor every single person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's when injuries happen. And I'm honored to say in the 4 years that I personal trained, I've never had any of my clients be injured.
Okay.
That's good. So because I really take it seriously in teaching them the basics.
Right.
Proper form is very important. Nutrition is the number one thing. Then proper form. And I teach them about the mind-muscle connection. When you're working out, you need to be focused on what you're working on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So the thing is that, and what I tell people also is like that they say, I can't afford it or whatever. I was like, okay, why don't you invest in yourself for 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
3 months of cutting back on something that you don't need, on cable, on Netflix, on Starbucks.
Whoa, wait, Netflix way. Well, hold on now. That's how I go to sleep.
You can watch YouTube. That's free. Or like something that you don't really need that you can sacrifice
mm-hmm.
for at least 3 months.
Right.
And that's in 3 months, I'll teach you everything that you need to know. That way, after those 3 months, if I guarantee you that you're going to be able to walk into any gym confident because you learned enough and you're not going to feel intimidated walking up to any machine and you're going to be able to know how to work it.
Right.
Because if you look at these big gyms like Planet Fitness, EP Fitness, those big gyms, what is the one equipment that you see the most of?
The one equipment?
The one piece of equipment that you see the most of.
The treadmills?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's rows of treadmills.
Right.
And ellipticals and bikes, right?
Right.
Why? Because those gyms, people that go majority of the time, special treadmills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, but then after a week or two, a week pretty much, they're going to get discouraged because they don't know how to use the machines.
Right.
You know, and so that is why my goal is for me to teach you how to properly use the machines. That way, when you can't afford to come with me or you move out of town and you can't afford to go, I know that you're confident. You know enough that you can walk into any gym.
And do it on your own.
And do it on your own.
Right. Okay.
See?
You said one thing I want to touch up on a little bit you focus on teaching, and one of them is nutrition. Mm-hmm. How does a personal trainer fit into the nutrition part? Do you give them?
Yeah. So how I start with anybody, so whenever somebody reaches out to me, how much do you charge, or like, what does your training consist of, and everything. So my training consists of nutrition. I teach you about nutrition, measurements, bi-weekly and monthly measurements, progress pictures, accountability, so you can text me at any time, whenever. 3 sessions a week per month, so that's 12 a month, right. Minimum. You can always get more, but the price is going to change. And I assign you your cardio regimen, and I assign you a nutrition plan.
Okay.
And I teach you about macros. So I set up a consultation with them first, so I can weigh them, measure them, and talk to them to see what their goals are. Because not everyone's goal is to compete, you know,
right.
or to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Some people just want to gain strength, or some people want to just feel healthy, regardless whether they lose the weight or not, but they want to feel healthy.
Right.
There's a difference.
Right.
And so in the consultation, I sit with them one-on-one, and I try to get to the bottom of what their goals are, so I can know how to approach their training. You know, so I train both male and females, but I never combine them because it's very different.
You never combine them?
Combine, like, for example, if I'm training a girl here, and I have another guy coming in, I'm not going to put them together.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You see what I mean?
Right.
It's just not right. It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to feel intimidated with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing that I want them to feel.
Right.
I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to be comfortable working out without having to be like, well, he's so strong, and you feel intimidated. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I work out. My guys are separate and my girls are different. And so I just, I really personalize the training to that particular person according to what they want to do. So the consultation is the first thing that I do.
Okay. I want to get into the fitness, into the competition piece a little bit.
Okay.
But we had a conversation downstairs about, what would you call it? What would your training be like? Weight, like
body sculpting.
Body sculpting.
Body sculpting.
Okay, as opposed
loss.
To, what does this appear?
CrossFit.
CrossFit.
Yeah.
Right. I know you're not anti-CrossFit, but you go more towards the body sculpting.
Yes, and the thing is, and I'm probably gonna get a lot of angry people here, and I'm sorry. I don't wanna create any spite or anything, and I hope you hear my heart. I have nothing against CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I won't promote and I won't suggest.
Okay.
Especially if it's somebody that's barely starting their fitness journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing about CrossFit is that, in my point of view, it's a good way of to get cardio in.
Mm-hmm.
Because their whole mentality is going as heavy as you can, as fast as you can, in as little time as you can.
Right.
You know, and that's not, that really is, you're just getting really tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're not really focused on a muscle group. It's a whole body type of deal. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And so, and a form is non-existent to them. It's like, however you get those keeping pull-ups or whatever they call them,
mm-hmm.
however you can.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of injuries happen like that, especially if you go to a CrossFit gym that the instructor is not a good instructor.
Mm-hmm.
There's CrossFit gyms that have very good instructors that are focused, and they'll correct you if you have the wrong form or not, but a lot of gyms don't have that.
Okay.
So it's very dangerous.
Right.
So I would suggest, if if you include CrossFit, it's okay if it's like once or twice a week as your cardio.
Okay.
But don't expect to have shreds and abs and everything by just doing CrossFit, because that's not going to happen.
Okay. Not unless you went into CrossFit already, like at like, a decent...
Yeah, or not unless you have to incorporate some type of bodybuilding work.
Okay.
Aside from the CrossFit.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get toned and defined mm-hmm. by just doing CrossFit.
Have you ever done CrossFit?
I've tried it.
You've tried it. Okay.
I've tried it and I just don't like it.
No.
It's not my thing.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just don't, I wouldn't do it as like a full-time thing.
Right. And not what you do now.
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
No,
right.
No. I like looking toned. I like having muscle, having definition, having abs, you know, and that's just not this, I wouldn't be able to accomplish my look doing CrossFit.
And there's you have like a 12-pack, right? I mean, it's
an 8-pack.
yeah. So let's talk a little bit about competition, because that's insane to me. I mean, I don't know anything about this, right? Obviously. But when did you get into competitions? When did you get to the point to where you said, I want to be up on stage and beat everybody at this?
It was when I first started my fitness journey, it was to go down from a size 9.
Right.
You know, and so when I had no idea what bodybuilding was at that time.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to work to lose weight, mm-hmm. you know? And so as I lost the weight and started getting definition, I liked that look, you know? I was like, oh, this is cool, you know? Like, I look cool. Like, I like how I look.
Right.
And my trainer at that time told me, he's like, you should compete. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you should do a bodybuilding show. And I'm like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
So he started sending me videos and like started sending me like pictures of like bodybuilder girls doing figure and like bikini competitions and all that. And I was like, oh, like, you think I can do that? It's like, yeah, like just do it. Like you look toned. Like uh-huh. you can definitely do it. You have the determination, the discipline, do it. So I was like, you know what? Let's just try it. You know, yeah. I have nothing to lose.
Right.
So sure enough, he prepared me for my first show. And I did my first show here locally in El Paso.
Here in El Paso, okay.
And I got addicted to it. I got so hooked. I was like, I was really nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was my first time in a bikini on stage, you know. And I'm very conservative. And so... like, but I liked it, you know, because I was in a bikini on stage, but I was showing all the hard work that I've
that goes in. Into that. Yeah. Yeah, right.
So it's, that's why, like, as bodybuilders, we get a kind of like a bad reputation, like we're conceited or anything. But you know what? Yes, we are. But because
there's a lot of hard work that goes into it.
We work hard.
Right.
People don't see the hard work that we put in
right.
a lot of times.
Right.
People don't see how I wake up at 4 in the morning every day, including Saturday and Sunday, to get my cardio in. People don't see that I cook my own meals every week,
mm-hmm.
you know, to stay on track. People don't see like a lot of the things, and they only see that we're on stage and like, oh, like that's so conceited, or like, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, in a way, we are being conceited because we take pride in what we've accomplished.
Right.
We've taken our bodies to limits that 98% of the world won't ever reach.
Right.
And it's hard.
What what's an inside, I guess, not tip, but... What happens at these shows that normal people wouldn't really know about? I mean, I see you on stage and you guys do the pose and you guys are wearing the bikinis and stuff. But what's something that happens backstage that nobody really knows about?
Well, there's a lot. That's a loaded question right there, because actually the hard work is the week prior to the show.
Okay.
Which people know it as peak week.
Peak week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or some people call it hell week.
Okay.
Because as you get closer to a show, everything gets harder. And because you have to deplete your body. You're depleting your body so you can showcase your muscles as best as possible.
Okay.
So your calories are at the lowest. Okay. And it consists of all of that.
What does a meal look like for you in peak week?
Fish and rice.
That's it? All day
fish,
long?
Fish, rice, asparagus.
All day long?
Yes. Fish, rice, asparagus.
Fish, morning, rice, asparagus. Lunch, evening.
And keep in mind that this was my last, this past competition. Every competition is different.
Okay.
Every prep is different.
Okay.
Because your body is in at a different level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so this last competition, it was the last week. It was every day, all day. It was fish, rice, and asparagus.
Morning,
fish,
lunch.
Rice, asparagus. Morning, night. Lunch, and night, yeah.
Wow. Ugh. Okay.
Exactly. You know, so every day, all day, that.
And then you're still working out.
It's still working out.
And your
out.
Water intake is less.
Depending on how I look.
Depending on how... Okay.
On
so you kind of look at it and then say, I can do water, less water, more water.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it just all depends. And it's going to be different all the time. And that week, your body's changing by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
It changes by the hour. So my coach is constantly messaging me, send me a picture, because it looks different all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That week. Mm-hmm. That's how the body's interesting, how it just changes from 1 hour to the next.
Right.
You know? And so as you get closer, you play around with foods too. The day of the show, like the morning of, you wake up at 4 a.m. to get your second coat of tanning, because you need to be super dark to bring out the more definition.
Is that what? Is that why you guys do so much of it?
So we do a lot of it because once you're on stage, stage lights take a lot of color off of you.
Okay.
So if you look at a stage shot, you're not going to look as dark.
Right. You look... Oh, I see. Yeah. You look lighter on stage.
You look tanned, but you don't look black.
Yeah, when you come down.
But then when you see them off stage, you're like... Like, people are scared. Like, you're, like, black, you know? Like super black.
Right.
But you need that color because on stage, the lights is going to take away a lot of light.
Right.
The light takes a lot off of you.
Right.
So you need to still look darker, you know?
I see. Okay.
So your muscles can pop out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the judges can see every fiber, like literally every fiber
of that muscle,
of your muscle. Yeah, you're like an anatomy body, like those books with the anatomy body. That's exactly what you look up there.
Yeah,
you, that's the goal,
right?
You know?
So you wake up at 4 a.m, you get a second coat of the tan,
and then for us women, it's a lot more that we need to do. Men have it a lot easier too, and cheaper. It's and because it's a lot of money that goes into these, like our suits. You're looking at $1,000 minimum that the suit costs.
What does it have to be a specific type of suit?
Yes.
Or?
So there's a particular cut that they have. And they have all these bling, all these rhinestones and everything. So
right.
The more bling it has, the more expensive the suit is.
Okay.
But then the more it's going to stand out. Because you want to stand out.
Right.
So you want a lot of that bling. You know, so it's going to be expensive, you know?
Yeah, guys just put...
And guys just put, like,
their
little
thong or whatever
thong
it is.
And that's it. Right. Which, like, $20 right there. That's all you need.
Right.
And the tan. So we spend... And then we need our makeup done. And it's not just your typical Sunday makeup that you put on.
Like, no, it's like stage
it has
makeup.
It has to match with your body.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you need to get it professionally done.
That's another couple hundred bucks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then your jewelry. Uh-huh. You need to have your earrings, bracelets, a ring at least, your shoes, your high heels. You know, so it's a lot of little things that go.
There's a lot goes into it.
Yes, a lot.
So you wake up at 4 in the morning, second coat of 10.
And then your makeup.
And then your makeup. And then you still have an 8.
Well, sometimes we need to take our meals with us, and as they're doing our makeup, we're eating there.
So what do you eat the day of?
It depends on how I look.
Okay.
So this past show, I did ground beef.
Okay.
A lean ground beef with rice, a rice cake with ghee butter.
Okay.
So those are the healthy fats.
Right.
So that's what I had. And then my coach saw me and they're like, okay, in 2 hours, have another rice cake with almond butter.
Okay.
I was like, okay. And then I'll see how you look and tell you what you get. So at that time, the day of the show, we take like a lot of sugary stuff, like Sour Patch Kids, or I know your face.
Really? Why would you do that?
So
this is the day of the show?
The day of the show.
Okay.
Or we take like Pop-Tarts or cereal, like sugary stuff, because what happens is that
your body... Like dry cereal. You're just munching. Okay. Yeah.
So what happens is that your body's so depleted that the sugar is going to help with the vascularity. So your muscles can fill up more. A lot of people do rice cakes because those are carbs that are going to help your muscles fill up. And the healthy fats too. So your muscles are going to pop out more.
Okay.
And your vascularity is going to like be to the max.
And by vascular, you mean like the veins.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to have that. You know what I mean? And so the sugar helps with that.
Okay.
Some people even do, I'm not even joking with this, some people do wine. They have like, they sip on wine because wine helps with the vascularity. It brings it out from you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So okay. There's a lot of
So what's tricks. Your go-to? What did you do?
I this did last one. Pop-Tarts, Sour Patch Kids, and which is heaven. You know, you're like munching out backstage. This is a fun part about the competition, right? Because you've already like done all the hard work. So all you have to do is like have fun with it. You know what I mean?
So your treat is a Sour Patch Kid.
Yeah, so I'm like munching on Sour Patch Kids.
Right.
But you need to monitor those too, because too much sugar can backfire on you, you know, and you can spill over.
Right.
Meaning you can look bad.
Yeah.
Like get bloated or stuff like that. So you can't overeat either, because you'll get bloated and you'll have a tummy and your abs will be washed off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some people, and then... so there's prejudging, and then you have like a 4-hour window until you hit finals. So during that window, a lot of the times people have a burger and fries to fill up, you know, and to look good for the night show. You know, some people have steak and potato, or some people. Yeah. So you have like a heavier meal. To get ready for the night show.
Okay. And then the night show, you go back to the same thing? Like working out? Well, I'm assuming you guys are like doing push-ups or sit-ups or something.
Yeah. So you pump up. That's what you call, you go and pump up. So backstage, all the shows backstage, they have dumbbells or straps,
like the rubber ones.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
The stretch bands.
Yeah, the stretch bands.
Right.
So you can pump up.
Okay.
So backstage, that's all you see. Girls in bikinis and guys in their trunks pumping up.
Okay.
With dumbbells or with the bands.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pumping up. We're talking. We're fixing our makeup, our hair. And until they start calling us out, then that's when we go and we do our poses.
Now, everybody that does... what did you call it?
Prejudging.
Prejudging goes into finals? Or not everybody does?
It depends on the show.
Okay.
So for like a national level show, mm-hmm. a lot of those national levels, if you didn't make the top 10, you won't do the night show.
Okay.
They only, on the night show, they only do like the top 10 okay. or top 5.
Okay.
So it just depends on where you land based on prejudging.
Okay.
So on prejudging, after prejudging, based on where they place you, you'll know whether you did good or not. And so by finals, it's our, for the most part on finals, the judges already know how you, what place they're gonna, you're,
what you're gonna get at the end. Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. So that's when they call it, I made first call outs or second call outs or third call outs.
Okay.
First call outs is when they line you all on stage.
Okay.
During the prejudging.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they call your number out, if you're one of the first ones that they call out, those are the first call outs.
Okay.
Those are your top ones, the ones that are gonna make it like top five, mm-hmm. your top five people.
Okay.
And then they compare them. The rest of the athletes that don't get the first call outs, they're more than likely gonna place like low, very low, or not place at all, depending how many girls are in each class.
Okay.
Yeah, so it just depends.
Where was the last one that you did?
My last one was a national show.
Okay.
I placed fourth.
Okay.
At national level, which is really good.
That's really good.
Yeah, so not good enough, because my goal was to get either first or second so I could get my pro card, which will make me a professional bodybuilder. So that's the goal that I'm okay. aiming for
okay.
for this for 2020.
When's the next competition that you're going to?
I don't have a set date yet, but more than likely it's going to be about March or April.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be another national?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm national qualified already.
Okay.
So
Where was the last show? Where did you go to? Where was it?
In Vegas.
In Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Are they always in Vegas or do they jump around?
No, so there's national shows year round. So you just got to pick which one you want to do.
How many pro? No, you say you qualify for national, right?
Or uh-huh. you're a national qualifier? Yeah, so I'm a national qualifier.
National qualifier. How many national qualifiers are in El Paso?
I'm not too sure, actually. I don't know.
Do you ever bump into anybody from El Paso at the national shows?
Sometimes. Not all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, but in El Paso, the bodybuilding industry is very small, so we all kind of know each other. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not familiar with anyone else that's national qualified. I'm sure there's a couple,
right?
But I don't think there's many of them. There's definitely not many of them.
Everybody that's doing this, I'm assuming, is a full time. Like, you don't do this part time, right? There's no way to do something
no,
like what you've done.
No, I do this full-time.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be, like, an attorney during the day and then do this at night and qualify as a national. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Well, you could, but it's going to be super hard.
Right.
And it's already hard. So you having another job is just going to be, like, it's added work.
Right.
So it's going to be tougher.
Yeah.
It's possible, but it's just way tougher.
Right.
Way tougher, yeah.
What, so your goal next year
is to become a pro,
a professional bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what does that mean? What happens at that
so
point?
So, it's mainly more of a title, like I'll be considered an IFBB pro. So, an IFBB pro, it's international fitness bodybuilding competitor. So,
okay.
That it's like somebody that's going to medical school and they graduate from medical school, so now they're a doctor.
Right.
So
this is like the highest of the highest.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So once I get my pro card, then I'll be an IFBB pro.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's a title, but that title opens doors for you.
Right.
Like any other, you know, you get sponsorships, you get, you can go speak at seminars, go to expos, and you know, and become like and people just see you differently because
right.
you're an IFBB pro.
Right.
You know, you're not just Marisol. your IFBB Pro Marisol. So cool. That means you've reached the pro level.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that's a high mm-hmm. honor. Who's your what do you call it? Mentor or who do you look up to in the bodybuilding industry?
So at first, I have two that I look up to. One of them, of course, is my coach, because she's an Olympian. That is the highest. That's the Super Bowl of bodybuilding.
Oh wow! The Olympia. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Olympia, which just happened in September. So my coach, her name is Whitney Jones.
Okay.
She's based off Arizona, in Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay.
And she is Miss Fitness Olympia. So that's the high. That's the ultimate. The highest of the highest. You can't go any higher.
She was Miss Fitness Olympia in September?
Yes.
Okay.
For the second time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she was in Miss Fitness Olympia in 2018.
Okay.
And in this year, 2019.
So back to...
Look up to Nicole Wilkins, which she doesn't compete anymore, but she's the first person that I looked up to and I strive to be, because she was an Olympian. She won that title five years in a row.
Wow.
And that's no easy task, you know? And so now she has her own supplement company. She holds boot camps all over the nation year round. And that's somebody that I would like to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I want to hold boot camps all over the nation too, and be known like that, you know, to bring fitness, like an awareness in fitness.
Right.
You know, and right. So, and have my supplement company too, my own gym and stuff like that. So Nicole Wilkins was my number one, and then my coach, of course.
And then your coach, yes. Of course. So 2020, you want to go pro?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are your other goals for either 2020 or coming up?
So my number one goal right now is to become a pro. And I also want to qualify for the Olympia, because to compete at the Olympia, you have to qualify. So, which means once I get my pro card, I'll still be competing, but at a pro level now. Those shows that I do are going to qualify me for the Olympia, which is the biggest stage there is in bodybuilding.
Right.
So I want to qualify for the Olympia. I'm going to qualify for the Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go.
Yes. You speak it into existence.
That's right.
True. I'm a believer in that. And then eventually I want to open up my own gym. Like I said, have my supplement company, and just travel and bring more awareness into health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially here in El Paso, there's a huge lack of fitness and awareness. And that's my number one priority when it comes to health and fitness.
See, now, I know a lot of people that work out. I know a lot of people that go to the gym. I know a lot of people that, you know, are into it. Yet, we still have I guess people still see it as there's a lack of fitness or working out or nutrition or whatever the case. Why? I mean, there's a lot of gyms. There's a lot of working out. Why is it still such a lack?
I believe it's the culture has a lot to do with it, because I'm Hispanic and you're Hispanic. So we've been raised, I mean, Hispanic food is not the healthiest at all.
Right.
It's very starchy and very high in fat and carbs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we grew up with. You know what I mean? Eating the tacos, the arroz and enchiladas, and it's all very fatty, mm-hmm. you know? And I don't know about you, but I was raised like, if you don't finish it, you're not going out to play. You tell a kid that, it's like, you're going to stuff your face.
Uh-huh.
But it shouldn't be like that.
Right.
So I feel like because El Paso's majority Hispanic, we've been brought up like that. So we've been wired to think that that's the norm, and it's not. You know, because I've traveled to several other places and I've gone to different gyms, and that's not the culture there. You know, like, for example, in Phoenix, their fitness culture is so, like, they're fitness-minded, you know what I mean? There's boot camps almost anywhere. There's so many healthy restaurant options. Like, all downtown is, like, filled with organic food or healthy eating, like, and we lack that here, you know what I mean? And I just think it's a lack of education. And I think if we were to, and then there's a lot of like animosity when it comes to the local gyms. And I don't like that. That's one thing that I see so much of, and it makes me sad because all the local gyms here, they're all against each other, and it shouldn't be. They're all fighting. El Paso has, and this is not correct, but I'm just, from what I hear, there's 3 million people here in El Paso. There's enough people for every gym.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to fight. Like every gym local gym that I know here, they're all fighting with each other, talking bad about the other gym.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it shouldn't be like that. If we were to all unite, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is fitness. The goal is to get your people, your members so fit.
Why not gather all together and have like this big like fitness weekend or fitness, like once a month, get all together, gather all, just to have a big group, or like a big boot camp, and just to bring awareness to people.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I believe if we were to unite and not fight with one another and try to steal clients from each other, we can help each other and be like, and it'll be very different. The culture will be very different. But until we get rid of that mentality, nothing's gonna change.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. I have two more questions to ask you because I know you probably have other clients and people to talk to.
Yes.
And workouts and whatnot. Second to the last question is on nutrition.
Okay.
I've seen more restaurants come up that offer a little healthier mm-hmm. of a choice, which is good. What's your take on vegan and vegetarian and all that stuff? Do you go that route? Do you still eat meat? Should you not eat meat? What's your take on it?
There's so many fad diets out there now. You know, like there's a vegan diet, there's a pescatarian where they only eat fish. There's paleo, there's keto, there's intermittent. They all work.
Mm-hmm.
They all work. Find something that's going to work for you.
Okay.
Okay. Find something that you're going to be able to, that's sustainable. And the thing is that most of these diets that are out there are not sustainable because they all have one thing in common. They restrict you from a certain group of food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the keto diet, it restrains you from carbs,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so our body needs carbs to right. function, you right. know what I mean? And so you're going to lose weight, there's no doubt. You know, you're going to lose weight, but are you able to sustain that lifestyle forever? And that's one thing that I ask people. Yeah, whatever diet that you're going to do, it's going to work. But is it sustainable? Are you going to be able to sustain it forever? Mm-hmm. Or just keep in mind that you're going to hit a time where you're going to break down because you're going to be restraining your body from that.
Right.
When you restrain the body from a certain group, you're going to be bound to break down.
So you're more of a believer of like, I guess you would say, what, portion control? Eat whatever you want, just watch what you eat, or?
I'm more of a counting macros.
Okay. So the calorie counting,
yes,
right?
Yes,
calorie counting. So you can have 5,000, and if a donut ate up 1,000 of it, now you only eat 4,000.
Yes, you just kinda don't like go that. Over it. Yeah, right, something right. like that. There's a lot more to
just
it.
Just to simplify it.
Yeah, but in other words, yes.
Yes.
Just you just need to be, just remember, if you get anything out of this, remember you need to be in a caloric deficit.
Caloric deficit. Okay.
And you need to find your calories. As long as you don't go over those calories every day, you're fine. You're going to be fine.
And work out.
And of course,
and be work active. Out.
Be active. Yes. Right. Don't underestimate walking. You'll be surprised how much your body can do if you walk a minimum of 10,000 steps a day.
Okay.
That might sound like a lot for people, but it's going to help your cardiovascular, your heart, it's your heart health. Oh, but it's only walking. It can do a lot for you. You can start by walking and then incorporate some running here and there, incorporate the Stairmaster, incorporate strength training, little by little, baby steps.
Right.
You know, don't overwhelm yourself with, okay, I'm going to start working out, I'm going to go sprint. No, you're going to burn out. And that's how people get discouraged. Mm-hmm. Or they burn themselves out because they start by sprinting. When just start walking, dude. Just start in the treadmill, walking.
Mm-hmm. Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
That's good. That's good advice. Lastly, what do you want to leave everybody with? What's your message? What's your message to everybody?
I just want everyone to be active. As simple or as, like, that's it, as it might sound, but be active, because fitness, it's not about, believe it or not, it's not about your outer appearance. That's a product of.
Mm-hmm.
Fitness is more of mental,
mm-hmm,
than you can think of.
Right.
It starts on the inside. And once you start feeling confident and start feeling good on the inside, like more energy, like you want to be active more, then that's what matters.
Then it's going to come out on the outside.
Yeah, then right. It'll show,
mm-hmm,
with consistency, because you're going to feel good. When you feel good, you want to be more active, right? Like you want, oh, this makes, like, your endorphins are at the highest. So you continue doing that.
Right.
You know, so start by getting active. And you'll start feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole abs and tone, body and everything, that's just going to be a byproduct of that.
Right.
So start just by being active. I just want people to be aware of how important is to be active just for your mental health,
right,
only.
Right. And it's a good message. It's a simple message, and it's a message that everybody can understand.
Exactly. So. And I think people overanalyze fitness, working out, and everything. And I want to change that mentality.
Right.
I want to, and I feel like with the clients that I've had, they learn that. You can ask Ruby. She told me the first week that she started with me. She's like, I don't like the gym. I don't like it. I don't like working out. And I'm like, you know what? At the end of this month, you're going to tell me that you love the gym. I guarantee you. That's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough,
yeah.
The third week, she's like, I look forward to coming. I love it. And I'm like, you see?
That's good.
Yes. So that right there is what it's all about.
Yeah, it's fulfillment for you. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That is ultimately what pays me. Mm-hmm. Of course, the money's good, and I'm not going to say, like, I don't want any money, but it's so fulfilling to me to hear that coming from somebody that used to say just three weeks ago, I don't like the gym. I want to change that mentality.
Right, right. That's awesome. I think you're doing great work. You almost convinced me to go to the gym.
I
might start. But I think it's a great message. I think it's a simple message. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to be super proud of this, especially if you when you make pro next year.
Of
it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yes,
once you're
course.
Pro. Once yes, you go national, start bumping elbows with all these dudes, then we'll do it all over again.
Sounds like a See? Plan. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That was Marisol. I don't think she put her information in there, but if you guys need to get a hold of her, I usually get a hold of her through Instagram. So MariFit242. So it's Mari, M-A-R-I, _ Fit, F-I-T, 242. That's an Instagram. Or I'm sure you guys could Google her or go stalk her at Push and, get your routine in. So, just before I recorded this, I got a text message from somebody that said, "Hey, why do you sound winded when you're doing your thing? You're talking." I do my thing standing up. Jesus. I mean, I know it's a fitness podcast. We had somebody in here that's ripped and bulked and shredded and whatever, but yeah. All right. I'm going to sit down and do this from now on. I guess I'll talk to the mic this way. Well, people don't, send me messages like that. All right, Mario. Anyways, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week, rest of your weekend. I don't know when you guys are listening to this, but thank you very much for taking time, for checking in, for supporting. There's a really good, couple of really good episodes coming up in the next couple of weeks. And next week is the return of the Inappropriate Joke of the Week. This week we took a break. I got a lot of different submissions. But some of these are just a little too much. So, I'm going to do some stuff on Instagram to see if we release these or not. They probably are. I mean, at this rate, with everything that I've gotten, we could probably do an episode of just jokes. So, we'll push them out in the next, couple of episodes, but thank you guys very much for checking in. Thank you very much for taking your time and listening. I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you guys kill whatever it is you guys are doing. And we'll see you next week.